We're up to Magid. Okay, so we're going to jump around the different ideas of Magid. If anyone wants to inject an idea, a machshava, please do not hold back and speak up. I believe we're up to Magid. We're somewhere along those lines. The last thing we did was Yachatz. Okay, so we break the Milamat, we come to Holach Ma'ani. Okay, so we're going to jump around. Now, before we even go to Magid, I told you that Holach Ma'ani is part of the... is a response, is part of the Amir of Yachatz. So I saw a very simple but profound thought in one of the Haggadahs that I was browsing through yesterday. He asked the question, if you were writing the Holach Ma'ani, if it was your role, your job to write the Holach Ma'ani, l'chor there's a word, there's a word that you would leave out. Two words. Let's read the words. Holach Ma'ani, this is the poor man's bread, di acholu av hosana bi'ara dimitzrayim. Called Dichvin, Yesei V'Yechel. Anyone that wants, who needs, who wants, let them come and eat. Called Ditzrich, anyone who needs, Yesei V'Yivsach. And then we have two words. Hoshata Hocha, L'Shana Haba'a Be'ara Di Yisrael. Hoshata Avdei, L'Shana Haba'a B'Nechayit. At the end of the Haggadah, we say L'Shana Haba'a B'Yerushalayim. Do we say in that, at the end of the Haggadah, L'Shana Hazos, Hacha, Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim. We don't do that. When we say Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim, we don't apologize and say, this year we're in Brooklyn. This year we're in a hotel. This year we're, I don't know, wherever you are. Lashana Haba, but next year B'Yerushalayim. Yet, when we do almost exactly... But yeah, when we do over here the same exact thing in Holach Ma'ani, we focus on Halashat, why do we have to go say Hashat? If we want to give a bracha, what's going to be next year, Lashana Haba B'Arid Yisrael, Lashana Haba B'nei Charon, why do we have to mention Hashat Hocha? Why do we have to say Hashat Avde? You have to rub it in. You have to rub it in that we are slaves. Baruch Hashem in America, it's pretty good. It's never been so good. Here, our barrel wine, he says that in Spain, when, besides America, when do we find in Jewish history the Jews were independent, had autonomy, was a free society, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, free will, besides America? There was only one place in history, Spain. Okay, the golden era of Spain. He says this was the closest to Kufa, the closest, it wasn't even that long, the golden era of Spain, whenever it was, not even in my history too well altogether, but the barrel wine says the golden era of Spain was the time that is the most equivalent, is the closest thing we have to America. Nothing, no other...
But even at that time,
Okay, so you have to study this history, but he says that you will study 2,000 years of Golus, you will discover there was the closest thing we had to in America was the golden era of Spain. And then he goes on to say, during that Tukufa, there was no Jew in Spain who felt anywhere nearly as secure in Spain as the average Jew in America.
That's true.
In America, there's no thought.
Nobody is going around from the government trying to force you to become a wasp.
So his point over here is that the attitude that we have, the bracha is adla hafli. It's wondrous. The blessing that we have in America today, the freedom of religion, is unprecedented, even in the entire history. Yet it's a very great danger that with it, the complacency and the willingness just to stay put and not return to where we belong, our roots, to go back to Eretz Yisrael, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, has become dulled. There's a lack of interest because...
Assimilation,
70%, 80%. Okay, so the question will be, let's go back to the question. Why do we say in the Holach Ma'ani, Hashata Hocha, L'shana Babi Yardi, so when we come to L'shana Babi Yishalayim, there we mention in the future. So the answer is that we begin the Haggadah, Maschil Bignusu Messiah B'Shach. We begin the Haggadah, this is not my idea, I saw this in a Haggadah, let me try to remember which Haggadah. It's a Hasidish Haggadah. What the Gemara doesn't answer this question? What do we mean? The Gemara doesn't bring out the point. What do we mean, Hashatach? It means when a person sits down to the Seder, you have to reflect, you have to reflect on the tzaris you have now. Right now, every person, B'li Yotzei Min HaKlal, is going through difficulty. That's the myth. No one came to this world for a free ride. Every person, some people, Baruch Hashem, it's better. Some people have a bit greater nisyonos. The first thing is to say, you know, let me put out of my mind. Right now, I'm on vacation from my tzaras. I don't want to embrace. I don't want to engage my tzaras. I want to go into a world of the la-la land. Make believe, right? That's one Academy Award. La La Land. My parents always used to say that, like, La La Land, La La Land. You're living in La La Land. Okay, all of a sudden now became a big movie. So, but the point over here is that a person has a tendency that when you come to the Yom Tov, you come to the Seder, you're sitting down with your family. You now let me put work out of my mind, like a Shabbos, right? Shabbos, Shavas Vayinofash, Shabbos now. Shabbos, I don't want to think about work. I don't want to think about my problems. I don't want to think about all of the issues that I'm struggling with. Let me get out. Einachinami, when it comes Shabbos, Shabbos he milizoik. Shabbos is a time where you hold back from crying out. Shabbos is indeed La La Land. Shabbos is indeed Me'ein Olam Haba. That's what Shabbos is. It is an island in paradise from which you can escape. You escape the world of reality. Now guess what? Pesach is not Shabbos. I know you'll tell me that Pesach is Mimocharas HaShabbos, Einochanami. It says in the Pasuk it's called Shabbos. But Pesach is a very different Yom Tov. Why? Because Pesach, you eat lechem oini, poor man's bread. It's not fun to be poor. It's not fun. In Pesach, you eat moror. It's not fun to eat moror. It's not fun to dip the karpas in the charoses. It's not fun even to drink 4 cups of wine for everyone. But it's, and Pesach, even the Pesach, it's, what kind of Pesach? V'achaltem oisai b'chipozoin. Kocha toichlu oisai. Makelchem b'yetchem. With your stick in your hand. Unalechem b'raglechem. Put on your shoes. To eat a bit. V'achaltem oisai b'chipozoin. What kind of hana? You go to a hotel. Can you imagine? You go to a hotel. You pay $10,000 to a hotel. And they tell you, Rabbi, the waiters have to clean them and go to sleep. So therefore, the Seder has to be over by 10:30. So right now, we have all this delicious food for you. There's no schmoozing. We're not allowing your family here to sit around and schmooze your grandchildren. The lights are going off 10:30, whether you like it or not. So start your Seder quick and get out of here quick. And you look at them, I paid it at $10,000, $20,000. How dare you tell me that you're closing the lights at 10:30? I was going to be here until 3 o'clock in the morning. No. We don't care. Too bad for you. Well, that's really what the Torah says. The Torah says you have a Karban Pesach. Don't get too comfortable with Karban Pesach. V'achaltem oisai b'chipozon, kocha toich lo'oso, na'alechem ra'alechem, ma'akelchem yetchem, v'achaltem oisai b'chipozon. It's not so much fun. Pesach is not a fun holiday. It's a mistake to think it's a fun holiday. There's a lot to confront. The beginning of the Haggadah makes it very, very clear. We're not at the end of the Haggadah. Maybe when you get to the end of the Haggadah, you can say, Lashon Haba B'Yerushalayim. You know the deepening of Lashon Haba B'Yerushalayim? Let's go a step further. Why? We start the Haggadah with Hashat is repetition. We start the Haggadah with Lashon Haba B'Yerushalayim Yisrael, and we end the Haggadah with Lashon Haba B'Yerushalayim. Why the repetition? Why can't we keep this expression entirely for the end of the Haggadah? The answer is, this is exactly the difference between the beginning of the Haggadah and the Haggadah. The beginning of the Haggadah is, you have to face reality. The beginning of the Haggadah is Taka. I sit down at the Seder table, and you know what you bring to the Seder table? I have all the beautiful kelim. Okay, Rabbi, sorry, Dr. Fuchs, it's getting too much. Right? We come to the Seder table, I don't mean anything personal, but you know that. Okay. Your wife told me that. Your wife told me I should. I think she told me I should. Yeah. On Purim, she told me I should make sure. Right? Okay, please, let's try to have some decorum. The when you come to the Seder, it's a very frightening thing. You come to the Seder, it's not Shabbos. You bring to the Seder all of your problems. Just like you put on the Seder, the ka'ara, the beautiful silver utensils, the rechush gadol, everything is set so beautifully on the Seder, that's just, but you also bring to the Seder your problems. Why do you bring to the Seder your problems? Because the Seder is going to give you the emunah. That's the goal. The Seder is all about emunah. That's the key word for the Seder. The emunah, to deal with the issues that are bothering you throughout the entire year. And the Baal Haggadah emphasizes that point in the very, very beginning. This is poor man's bread. It's the poor man's bread that we ate in Egypt. Whoever needs, let them come. The first thing is, Hashata Hacha. We're here in Golus. Golus is a catchphrase for, we got problems. Everyone has difficulties. Everyone has nisyonos. Hashata avde. Nu, hopefully, l'shana haba, things will be better. But don't sweep your problems under the rug when you come to the Seder. You got to use the Seder as a tool to deal with all of your issues. Okay. I thought that was a very good one, so I don't know. I thought that really powerful stuff. Okay, next idea. Now, this idea, let's go, I think this is an interesting idea also. I'm going to combine two things. Going back to stealing the afikoimen, right? We break yachas, we break the middle matzah, and the children come along, they take the afikoimen. They go run away with the afikoimen. It's gneva. Gneva, so we discussed last week
don't do
how...
It at this point, but
what?
You usually do it later.
Later, what do you mean? You break it? By Rachsa. When you go out to wash, they steal the afikoimen. Okay, so we discussed last week. How can you allow children to steal? So we had a discussion in Achinami, there are many Gedolei Yisrael that are vehemently against this minig of stealing. It's not the way to teach children. And some say, no, this is chinuch habanim, you have to, this is a mesorah. Geneva, Adarabba, in the story of Mitzias Mitzrayim, there were many Genevais, we discussed this last week, and it's an opportunity to explain to the children that there are times to steal, and there are times not to steal. In the Aseret Sedivis, by the way, there's a psik. Lo, kama, or psik, tignaif. Lo, sometimes, you know, but there are times, tignaif. In fact, Chazal say you have to steal time from yourself to learn Torah. You have to take away time from that you would spend with your family, with business, parnasa, in order to steal time to be with Hashem. Okay, so that was last week's dvar. I want to tell you a new dvar. There's one of the common reasons why children do steal the afikoman is to be merames to the dogs. At the time of Yetzirah Mitzrayim, it says, "V'lo yechratz kelev l'shaynai." A dog did not bark when Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim. In fact, they were rewarded for not barking. They were given meat when the person has mevelo treifa. So it says, "La kelev tashlichuna." It says there's a mitzvah to give a dog. The dog is an or enikel from the groisa kelev that was there at the time of Yetzirah Mitzrayim. It deserves to have some meat because it was quiet, did not bark, scare Klal Yisrael when they went out of Mitzrayim. Very interesting. The kelev is such a choshiva creature that we are reminded of the kelev by letting the children steal the afikoman. The kelev, the dogs are not barking. What do dogs do? What do person have a dog? The guard dogs to protect your property, that no one should come and steal your property. So if the dogs are not barking, the alarm system is not working. So if the alarm system is not working, because you can go and you can steal. So this is a very popular reason. I want to point out that the Kelev makes his appearance at the end of the Haggadah as well in the Chad Gadya. There's a very famous Vart. Let's review the Vart from, the story goes, I don't know the exact details, but it was during the 1700s when there was a terrible, terrible machlekes between Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz and Rabbi Yaakov Emden. There was an accusation, Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz was a Sabbatine, a follower of Shabsai Tzvi. He wrote these kimeos, amulets. It was one of the worst machlekesim there ever was in the history of Klal Yisrael. Very, very, I know who did the most research for something very fascinating. I think it was Rabbi Stephen Przanski from, where is he? From
Teaneck.
So he did an enormous amount of research. That's the way it sounded.
The Jewish home 2 months ago
had a write-up?
Rabbi Penny Donner for Young Israel of LA wrote a series.
A series. Okay, this is the topic of many PhD. Many people got a PhD writing a thesis on the machlokes between Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz and Rabbi Yaakov Emden. The accusation was that he was a member, he was a follower of Shabsai Tzvi. I just remember that I listened to Rabbi Stephen Przanski, and it appeared from the way he was speaking that he spent years, the way it sounded, researching this machlokes. And he said something very fascinating. He said, if I'm not mistaken, is that Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz lost his job because of Rav Yaakov, his father. Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz's father. There was something going back in history where there was a Chacham Tzvi. Someone lost their job because of someone else. Maybe Rav Yaakov Emden's father, Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz's father, caused Rav Yaakov Emden's father to lose his job. Because he made a mistake in the Psak Halacha, there was an issue where one of the families was a Dayan, and they made an honest mistake, but the honest mistake cost him his job, and there was this tension between the two families going back even way before, which I think he was suggesting contributed to this Machlekes. His idea was novel. It was very interesting. Okay, let's put that aside. Why am I telling you all this? As a hakdama to a ma'is shahaya from the Talmud of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Who was his Talmud? Rav Nosson Adler. Right? Rav Nosson Adler was the Talmud of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. And he once walked into a shul and he heard people talking about the machloikis between Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz and Rabbi Yaakov Emden. So Rav Nosson Adler said to these people, basically, it's none of your business. The machloikis between these two, it's between them. What are you getting involved in this machlekes? And the way he illustrated his rebuke that it's none of your business was by focusing on the Chad Gadya. He asked a very, very good question. What's the question? The Chad Gadya begins where the Gadya has done. Gadya is an innocent little creature, has done absolutely nothing wrong, has done no harm to the world. A Gadya, Chad Gadya, Chad Gadya, Zabin Abba betrays Zuse. And what happens? There is a guilty creature in this world called the cat, the shunra, the cat. The cat is a baal bechira. It's a creature of Hashem. It can make its own decisions, and it comes along and it bites the worst. It eats the ochla legadya, eats the gadya. So let me ask you: who is innocent and who is guilty? The gadya is the victim. The gadya was innocently walking down the street, minding its own business, has done no harm, would never do any harm. And it's been attacked by a terrorist. Who is the terrorist? The shunra. The shunra is a terrorist. Yeah. The cat. The cat's a terrorist. It attacks the gadya. Along comes the kalba, the dog. The dog seeks retribution. Look at this. The dog basically is taking the law into its own hands. Okay, the dog, instead of calling the police, the dog sees that the cat has eaten up the gadya, so the dog comes along and goes and noshach, it takes the law into its own hands and bites the shunra. So l'cha'oira, the dog is innocent, the dog is the hero, right? On the front page of the New York Times, we have a dog who is the hero. It stood up for the rights of the gadya. Then it comes along the chutra is guilty. The chutra is guilty. What is the chutra coming along and attacking the dog? Today you attack a dog, you're finished. Okay, that's the worst thing you could possibly do. You can kill people, but attack a dog, you're finished. So the chutra is guilty. Along comes the fire. The fire comes and saves the day and burns up. So the fire is innocent. Fire is the hero. Then comes the maya. The maya puts out the fire. So the maya is guilty. The water is guilty. Then comes the Torah. The axe is innocent. Then comes the Shaykhid. The Shaykhid is guilty. Then comes the Malach HaMaves, is innocent. And then comes the Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shach. Oh, I didn't realize, it's the third place. I told you HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the third place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I didn't have, this is the third place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I thought there's only two places. Okay. The Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shach HaMalach HaMaves. I can figure it out. Hayitachin, Hashem is guilty. No, is that not the sequence of the Chad Gadya? Now the kasha, in my opinion, my humble, worthless opinion, is a lot better than all the answers. And I feel, going off on tangent, I feel that's mamish with the message. That's part of the message of that's the end of the Haggadah. That's part of the message. Part of the message of the Haggadah is we love to blame Hashem. Isn't that human nature? We have problems, and the cop out is, Hashem, I have tainus on you. This is before we get to Rabbi Nosson Adler's answer, I just want to give you a little drush. My humble opinion is what the Chad Gadya is doing at the end of the Haggad is, this is the big test. The big test. No, he gave. He gave a different answer, which I'll come to in a few moments. I just want to, once we're talking about this, I want to just point out is like when you come to this, you're sitting there with the Seder, Emuna, Vigat Levincha, you're knocking away right until 3 o'clock in the morning. Emuna. You think you're so perfect now. And now the Haggadah is over. Go back to life. Nothing's going to go your way. Business doesn't go your way. Shidduchim don't go your way. And health doesn't go your way. Everything doesn't go your way. No, I have tainus. Ribbono shel Olam, I did mine. I spent my whole life serving you. I'm an oved. I daven 3 times a day. I eat kosher. I spend money. I mechanech my children. I take all the garbage from everyone and everywhere. And this is what you give me in return. Ribbono shel Olam, you're guilty. You're guilty. Isn't that the sequence of events? The Chad Gadya really is everyone's story in life. In life, you go through this. You go through a whole sequence of events. And when it's all said and done, what do you feel? I have tainus on the Ribbono shel Olam. I don't know about you. I mean, this is human nature. How do you react? And that's the Seder is over. The Seder is over. It's not just anticlimactic. It's a stira to the whole Seder. The whole Seder is Emuna. And here you come to the end of the Seder. Follow the rules. Follow the sequence of events. The Ribbono shel Olam is guilty at the very end. That's the Nisayon. That is the test. Did you really, really go through the Seder? If you really are a Maimon, when you come to this, you'll say, Tzadik Hu Hashem. I taka don't understand. Tachlis Hayidia Sheneda Shaloi Neda. Rambam says the purpose of knowledge is to know that you don't know. What's the Haggadah all about? Vidatem, you shall know, ki ani Hashem. So here you come at the end of the Haggadah. The Ribbono shel Olam, L'chor is guilty. Answer is, I have to acknowledge, I don't understand. I don't understand Hashem's ways. I stand back. I'm mevatel myself to the Ritzoyin of the Ribbono shel Olam. Tzadik Hu Hashem. This is the end of the Haggadah because this is the challenge. The challenge of the Haggadah. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu be guilty when you come to the end of a night of Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And for this we need Mashiach to come to answer the question, Tzadik V'raloi Rasha V'toivloi. Okay, it's a very depressing thought, but I think there's a lot of emes in this. Now, let's go back to the path that we came from. Rav Yaakov Emden, Rav Nosson Adler. He gave an answer. The answer, it's not satisfying to me, maybe it's satisfying to you, and he says, there's one creature here in this sequence that throws things out of order, and that is the dog. It's none of the business, it's not the business of the dog to get involved in a fight that's not its own. How does the Chad Gadya start? The Chad Gadya is the innocent bystander. Along comes the Shunra, is the terrorist. Call the police. What is the dog? What are you getting in? The dog is guilty. What are you doing here? Call the police. Let the police get involved. What are you getting involved over here? So therefore, according to Rav Nosson Adler, who is the center, the crown jewel of the Chad Gadya? It's not the Gadya. The crown jewel of the Chad Gadya is the Kelev. The Haggadah ends off really with the Kelev. The Kelev throws everything out of proportion. It gets involved in a machlokes has nothing to do with itself. So now, the Kelev is guilty. Oh, the Kelev is guilty now. The Gildul Hadvar, everything goes, takes. You have to go through the whole cycle of life. And these are all natural things. This is the Chutra, the policeman. The Chutra means the one who has the stick. The policeman has the stick. And then there's the force of nature, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's the Nura, the Maya, these are Hashem. These are all extensions of the Ribbono shel Olam until HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the very end comes over. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes out, he is indeed Hashem. Hashem Hu HaTzadik. Hashem Exar is the Tzadik. So look at that. We have the Kelev appears in the Haggadah twice. When you steal the Afikoimen, you're paying homage to the dog. The dog did not bark. So the Ganovim are free too. The Ganovim are free to do what they wish, right? So therefore, the dog repaying, the stinger that they come in is a recognition of the dog. And the end of the Haggadah is the dog. But they're two opposite midos of the dog. When you steal the afikoyimin, the dog is a tzaddik. The dog is a good dog. He's quiet. At the end of the Haggadah, the dog goes back to its midos rois, its evil ways of not just barking. What does it mean to bark? What do you mean a dog barks? A dog bark means, what are you barking at me? What's in your business? I'm walking on the street. I'm walking on the street. You have to bark at me? Go bark at yourself. This is the meat of a dog. The meat of a dog is to make trouble. Just to make, for the sake of making trouble. What's the message? What's the message? The message over here is, before we go to the, but Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz, Rabbi Nosson Adler told these people, you're like dogs. There's a machlekes between the Gedolei Yisrael, Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz, Rabbi Yaakov Emdin. It's between the Gadya and the Shunra. Let them fight it out. What are you getting involved? You're getting involved, you're like the dog. You have no purpose in getting involved over here. That's what Rabbi Nosson Adler told these people who were quarreling in the machlekes between the Bishop and Rabbi Emdin. Now, what do we take out of this for our purposes? What we take out of it, now that we've made the observation that the dog appears in Agada twice, the message is, when the Seder is over, you have to transition back, these are not really nice words to say, to the world of reality. When you go into the Seder, you're leaving the world of reality. There's nisim v'niflois, there's supernatural exposure. You're going al kanfei nesharim to Eretz Yisrael, tibi afikar v'leis hamigdash, nisim v'niflois, the ten makos, kriyas yamsof. The whole Seder experience is l'malo miderech hateva. Wonderful. And it's all also, by the way, it's all b'loshna kodesh, the language which is also l'malo miderech hateva. When the Seder is over, the Baal HaGadah is giving us the piyut of Chad Gadya. Chad Gadya is taking us, it's time to come back home. You got to anchor yourself back in the world of reality. In the world of reality, the dogs bark. In the world of reality, there are dogs. It's no longer Lashna Kodesh. Exactly. We're taking you back. The whole Chad Gadya is the Caliph. The Caliph represents the koyach in the Bria of things are not easy. Golas, in Golas, there are dogs barking at Klal Yisrael in Golas. They're getting involved in something that they have nothing, no shaykhis to. What business does the UN have, right? All of the states, like there's a classic example there of the issue that resolution condemning Israel as an apartheid state when they themselves are they fit the description of being apartheid states. What are you getting involved? What's in your business? Mind your own business. The whole world is b'geder a kelev b'irei that's barking at Klal Yisrael. It's true, during the Seder Haggadah, you steal the afikoyimin and the child returns the afikoyimin. There are no dogs. Klal Yisrael is supreme. But when the Seder is over, it's a return to the world of reality. There are dogs barking, and you got to protect yourself. You have to watch out. Okay, so this is a few ideas about the Chad Gadya. Okay, let me tell you another vart. And this vart is the simplest vart I've ever heard. And it's also, I think, the nicest vart I've ever heard. It's the most beautiful and the simplest. I saw this part in Rabbi Shur, Rabbi Avraham Shur, as if I have actually have it right over here. I'm using it over here right now. Rabbi Avraham Shur's Haggadah. He says this vart in the name. I didn't see it in this Haggadah. I saw it in a different. He has another. He put out another little book, a little sefer.
He has two or three
for a year. A few of them he has, and there I saw the one he put out this year. I saw it recently in the new one that he put out this year, and he says it over in the name of an Avreich, a young man. Who, in the name of his father, Rav Yosef. I don't know who this Avreich is, who his father is, but it's so super simple, and so simplistic, but it's so beautiful. When you steal the Afikoyimin, the Yachatz, we steal the Afikoyimin, who steals the Afikoyimin? The children. When do they return it? When you give them a prize at Tzofoin. What is eating of the Afikoyimin refer to? Tzofoin refers to the coming of Mashiach. Mashiach is safun le'asalam. The eating of the afikoymin is who is going to return the afikoymin to the parents for its safun, the children. What is that symbolic of saying? Who are the ones who will bring Mashiach? The children. The children, the yisod you learn from the Haggadah is the children are the ones who are going to bring Mashiach. The children are the ones at the end of the Seder who return the Afikoymen. With the Afikoymen, we go into Tzafun, we go into the Tekufa of what is Tzafun for Klal Yisrael Le'asalavo, Mashiach. And the whole Haggadah is all built upon this in order to create an environment, to create a process, a technique, in order for it to develop at the end of the Seder, the Kindalach should be the ones who come and bring for us Mashiach. Simple, profound, very deep, and very, very true. Okay, let's go further in Magid. Magid. I don't remember what I wanted to say. Turn to Magid. All right, here we go. Let's do a little halacha. A little halacha. Why? All right, let me just tell you another short idea. It's a little halacha, a little agada. I told you this before. Chinuch habanim. Parents have an obligation to teach their children Torah. Upon whom does the obligation fall? Upon the parents. Do most parents, or does any parent himself fulfill the mitzvah of Vishinantam levonecha? No. Every single parent sends their child to a yeshiva.
In a formal sense, yes.
They pay. They pay the tuition. You send your children. You send your children to a yeshiva, and the rebbeinu in the yeshiva and the environment is going to be mechanech your child to be a God-fearing Jew. Going to teach. What? Household also, but the primary chinuch today in this day and age certainly is in the yeshiva. You send your kids away to a rebbe, and they're going to teach them the aleph bays, they're going to teach them the chumash, they're going to teach them mishnayis, the gemara. The parents, they do very, very little. Some parents, their whole life, will never even one moment learn a pasuk with their child, a mishnah, a piece of gemara. They rely purely upon the yeshiva, and they pay good tuition, and they're very proud, they're very happy, v'chul v'chul. So let me ask you a question. When it comes to the Haggadah, it's exactly the same. V'yigadata levincha b'yoyim ahu leimar. So think about this. A parent has a child, the kid is, let's say, 5 years old, and the father says, you know, having a Haseder, you know, the next door neighbor, they have a much nicer Seder. So you know what? My child, I'm going to hire a nanny, and the nanny is going to take you next door, and you'll go to their Seder. Because at their Seder, it'll be a much better experience. Did you ever hear such a thing like that? Absurd. Well, when you send your children away to yeshiva, it's exactly the same thing. Why doesn't the parent teach their children chumash, mishnayis, gemara? The answer is, well, in yeshiva they can do it a lot better than I can do it. The rebbeim are professionally trained to teach you chumash, mishnayis, gemara. There is a whole network, there's a whole system, there are menahalim, there are many rebbeim, there's an environment. They can do it infinitely greater than me, better than me, therefore I'm sending you off to yeshiva. When it comes to the Haggadah also, why should I go and tell my child, I'm going to send you off across the street to my neighbor. He's a charismatic person. He's a Rebbe in a yeshiva. He has visual illustrations, and he's very lebedic. I'm just a grumpy old man. Why do you want to come to my Seder? Absurd. You've never heard of this before. They'll put you away. They'll lock you up for torturing your children if you don't have your own Seder and you don't have the children say to you the Manishtana and conduct your own Seder. Child abuse. They'll put you away for child abuse. What's the chilek? The chilek is exactly what the Seder, this idea illustrates what the Seder is. The Seder is avos ubanim. There's no shlichus when it comes to v'igarta levincha bayamahu leimar. When it comes to v'shinantam levonecha v'dibarta bam, the shlichos. The Seder is v'igarta levincha. Haggadah is not v'shinantam. To teach diligently, you can be mekayim al yidei shaliach. Haggadah is peh el peh, face to face. Whether you're a grumpy old man or whether you're a charismatic entertainer, it doesn't make a difference. It's you and the children face to face. Okay, that's the chilik between zeichel yitzias. Okay, let's leave with that. That's just an idea in and of itself. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another idea is, okay, in the Haggadah, why don't we make a bracha? Why don't we make a bracha on the mitzvah Vigarta Levincha Bayoy Mahu Leimar? There are many answers. One answer is we make kiddush. This is the bracha. At the end of the Haggadah, when we make the bracha Asher Goalanu, that is the bracha. Another answer is that being that the Haggadah is Haggadah She'ela U'Seshuva, it involves give and take between a parent and a child. We typically do not make a bracha when there is a partner involved in our mitzvah. You never saw someone make a bracha before they give tzedakah. They say to the ani, ani, you're the chefts of my mitzvah. You're the object, and therefore stay here, stand over here. I'm going to make a bracha, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah v'tzvanu al mitzvahs tzedakah. And then I'm going to give you the tzedakah. We don't do that, you don't do that. Whenever you do a mitzvah, and the mitzvah depends upon someone else being a recipient of your, being a partner in your mitzvah, that does not qualify for a bracha. Likewise, being in the mitzvah sibur is to speak to your children. You need a partner. You need children. If they're not going to participate, you're not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah. But oifan mechuder, so you do not make a bracha. That's a very popular answer. What? Well, okay, that's not ideal. That's not ideal. You have to have a participant. Another answer given is that the hag requires understanding. Any mitzvah that is totally in the heart, in the mind, in understanding, you do not make a bracha. Now, there's a better, the answer that resonates with me is the answer is that we do make a bracha. The bracha we make for the Haggadah was done at the time of when we said Kriya Shema. Ahava Rab Birchais Kriya Shema. The Seder begins with Mariv Aravim, Ahava Rabba, Goal Yisrael, and Hashkiveinu. The birchos Kriya Shema, the four birchos that we make that surround Kriya Shema, is the bracha for the Haggadah. Why do I say that? The tafkid of the Haggadah, what is the goal of the Haggadah? The goal is, as we say, the Maisa, Rabbi Akiva, the whole all the Tanoim, they were Mesaper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim Kol Oysa HaLayla Ad Shabot Talmideyim B'Yomu Lohem Rabbi Seinu Higia Zman Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. The goal of the Haggadah is to come to the recognition, as you say in the P at the end, Echad mi yodea, Echad ani yodea, Echad Elokeinu shebashamayim uvaretz. The tafkid of the Haggadah is to recognize Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Therefore, when we recite Kriya Shema, Ma'ariv, and we make a bracha, Rishayna, and the bracha Achrayna on the Kriya Shema, there is no greater bracha that you can recite that can outdo what you're trying to accomplish at the Haggadah. The Haggadah is all about recognition, as that story illustrates, that you fulfill the mitzvah of Yitzias Mitzrayim because you've now reached the madrig of Kriyashma of Echad Elokeinu Shabashma Baretz. I'll give you another example of this idea. In the Dalet Banim, what do we say to the Rasha? The Rasha asked the question, "Mo havoida zos lochem." It's very extreme what it says in the Dalet by the Dalet Banim. We say, "Kofar," since you said lochem, and you didn't say anachnu. What was the question? Let me go to the lochem v'loy loy. Since he kofar b'ikar, v'yaf ata hake yeshinav, v'emelo ilu hayosham lo hayenigal. Now, if you were writing the Nusach HaGadah, I don't think the average parent or the average mechanech in this generation would say kofar be'ikar. This violates, I guarantee you, every single rule in parenting and chinuch habanim in the entire world. You go into Eichler's, you go into any Judaica store, they'll have all these books about Jewish parenting. Child comes to you and says to you, Mo havoid hazos lochem. You say to him, you're a Koifer be'ikar. You're a koifer be'ikar. Get out. That's not the way the world works. That is the classic violation. You don't say to a child you're a koifer be'ikar just because they asked a good question. Lochem v'loy lo, just because he does not consider himself to be part.
He's a good question.
It's a very challenging thing that the Haggadah is setting the wrong tone for Chinuch HaBanim, dealing with a child who is a Rasha. So we'll get that in one moment. But why did the Baal Haggadah go to such an extreme and say Kofar Be'ikar? The answer is because the whole Haggadah is all towards the goal of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's the goal. That is what the whole night is all about. That's the brachos of Birchas Kriya Shema is all about. Higia Zman Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. If a person is not including himself in the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's not a question of, am I giving too much Musar, I'm not giving too much Musar. This is a reality. This is a matter of fact, is that you're not a maimin in Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You're never going to get there. Kofar Beikar means you don't believe in Shema Yisrael. And if you're not including yourself in Yitzias Mitzrayim, then that's it. You're out. You're out of the Ikar. This, by the way, is a very powerful Musar to, unfortunately, there are, like today, an open orthodoxy. Not all, but there are Yechidim, there are individuals who are a member of open orthodoxy who are mamish deny the fact that there was ever a Yitzias Mitzrayim. They openly say, they deny that the Torah is Min HaShamayim. They deny all of the historical events in the Torah. And yet, they're rabbis. We're Jews. We believe in God. We believe in this. The Baal Haggadah says, if you don't believe, if you're not, don't include yourself in the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Lochem V'loilo, the story of Egypt, and all of the events that came with it, is Lochem V'loilo, I'm not a believer. You can't go and say it, but I'm still a rabbi. I'm still a spiritual leader. I'm still a spiritual guide. Kofar be'ikar. The two are tolui ze b'ze. To be maimin in Yitzias Mitzrayim and all of the miracles, the nisim v'niflois of Yitzias Mitzrayim and everything that is in the Torah is all in the night of Pesach is all a chelik of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Not all members. I'm not saying everyone, but there are definitely people who have come out publicly and they're all in the news all the time, and everyone's fighting with them. Is you got a very big problem. Look what it says in the Haggadah. The Haggadah is an open rebuke to this approach of Yadus to be selective in what you want to accept and what you do not want to accept. Okay, now going back to the other question, how in the world can the Baal Haggadah go to such an extreme? So there's a fascinating Chazon Ish who asked exactly this question. Even the Chazon Ish 70 years ago also said, like, how could you say talk to a child like that? Just because a young child, he asks some very difficult questions. Something is bothering him in Emunah, and he says, Lochem v'lolo, you give him a smack, and you tell me a kofer be'ikar, and you throw him out of the yeshiva, hayitochin. Even 70 years ago, Mechanchim wouldn't do such a thing like this. So the Chazon Ish says something that is Hafle Lefela. He says, Bizman Hazeh, even 70 years ago, there is no such thing as a Rasha anymore. It doesn't exist. The Mitzias of a Rasha in Klal Yisrael no longer exists. This is theoretical. A Rasha, theoretically speaking, years ago, the time of Chazal, there was just like Niskatnu Hadoyrais, we don't have today Gedolei Yisrael, who have Ruach HaKodesh, who have Nevuah, the fact the Baal HaGadah can say such a thing, which we know today, you can't say, Chazal is saying this, you can't say, it doesn't work, the whole thing doesn't exist, to say such a thing like to a child, to say to him, you're kofer be'ikar, and throw you out of the house, goodbye, good riddance. So what's the answer? The answer is, we don't have a Rasha Bizman Hazeh. The most we have today Bizman Hazeh is a She'eni the Elishol. We have a Tam.
You don't have a Rasha, you don't have a Kofa. You
don't
have a Tam, you don't have a She'eni.
No, She'eni the Elishol we have. A Tam we have.
Why?
A Chacham, what?
You can't just pick and choose.
Because the, yes we can. Because the, that's what the Chazon Ish says, because the answer is so absurd. It can't be.
Maybe that is the answer. Maybe you're supposed to say, maybe this is the Chinuch.
If so, a child says, no, that he says, the Chazon, okay, it's an opinion. The Chazon Ish says that it's absurd to say to a child today, a young child comes to you and says to you, Mo havoida hazois lochem, which happens all the time in yeshivas, lochem.
No, so he says, Haka yeshina.
No, it says, he kofa be'ikar.
You know he's kofa be'ikar, but right now he says, Haka yeshina. Dull him.
And what do? You throw him out.
He doesn't say throw him out.
It says in the Haggadah, ve'emor lo hake yeshina, ve'emor lo bavur ze aso Hashem li b'tzeitzi mimitzrayim, li v'loy loy. Ve'emor lo.
Okay,
but the pshuta, I'm telling you what it says in the Chazanish. I understand there are other opinions. Absolutely. The Chazanish many times is a das yochid. We don't pass that the Chazanish. But the Chazanish's kasha is a very powerful question. Because there is no mechanic and no parent today that would follow the advice of the Baal Haggadah. And how could that be? How could the Baal Haggadah give you such advice? The answer is because there's that shaykh b'zman hazeh for a child to reach a degree of wickedness deep down inside when he's so sincere in his understanding, in his words, to say, Lochem, with such an intensity, I have no connection to this event whatsoever. This cannot be. Therefore, that's why we don't find this answer being said today. This existed in previous generations before our time, and the lesson is timeless. The lesson is timeless, and that's what we have to learn from what it says in the Haggadah. But it's not something that practically exists b'zman hazeh, which is a very big nechama to the generation. It's a very big. He's like the Bar Ditshava. The Bar Ditshava was always the melamed zuchus on klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another idea?
One aside, that's why Rabbi Alfred says in the Sefer, the difference is, what is the question of the... It's not a question, but
yeah.
It says, V'hayok yomru aleichem b'neichem. If it's be, if ki yisholcha b'ncho, when your child asks you a question, it's different, he's looking for an answer. But the Rasha, the difference is, he's not asking you a question. When he says, Mo'a voda zos lochem, he's telling you, Vayoki yomru aleichem b'neichem, Mo'a voda zos lochem.
He's telling you.
He's telling you, he's not looking for an answer. He's telling you, who cares anymore?
And that's a different approach. Mo'a voda zos
lochem. It's the language that he's saying. I'm not asking you a question. I'm telling you. And when the kids are telling you things, then you got a problem. That's the Rasha.
The chutzpah.
Right.
Okay, another quick question, another short idea. A major segment of the Haggadah, the first segment of the Haggadah is the parash of Bikurim. Now this is a question I don't have an answer for, but when we darsh the parash of the Bikurim, we break up the psukim. The parash of Bikurim begins, V'onisa v'omarto l'fnei Hashem v'necha, arami oyved avi, v'yered mitzrayim v'yered shem v'msemot v'yishem v'dayol t'viroth. How can we start the Haggadah with the words, Arami, it's in the middle of a pasuk called Pasuk Lepaskin Moshe Rabbeinu Anan Lepaskin. And how can we violate this basic principle? I don't have an answer. We begin the Haggadah, we say, Arami Avi Ravi. You know how to do that? What? We darshling? I guess you have to come on to that answer. It's still a difficulty. You're starting right in the middle of a pasuk. Besides that, there are how many psukim do we focus on in the Haggadah? 5 psukim. Starting with Arami, that's Pasuk Hey, Vav, Zayin, and the last one is Ches, Vayotzienu Hashem Mi Mitzrayim B'yot Chazaka Uv Zhonetuya, Uv Maro Godol, Uv Oysais, Uv Maivsi. That's the end. But there's another Pasuk. Vayivienu El Hamokoyim Hazeh, Vayitin Lanu Es Oretz Hazois, Eretz Zovas Cholov Udvash. Why do we leave out that the Pasuk of Eretz Yisrael? We do mention in the Haggadah, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the purpose was to come to Eretz Yisrael. It's a very interesting point. We don't dash in the last part, and we all have 4 Lashon. So it says, Yitzal, Tidigal, Tidigal, Kachni, Vehadesi is Eretz Yisrael. So this 6th Pasuk corresponds to Eretz Yisrael. So Mamela, we leave it out of the Seder of the Haggadah, but it's still a very difficult question. I want to lighten the question a little bit, take away a little bit from you, taking note that the Haggadah really did make mention of Eretz Yisrael. In this pasuk, there are 2 parts to Eretz Yisrael. Vayivienu el hamokoyim hazeh. When it says mokoyim, what are we referring to? So Rashi says, refers to the Beis HaMikdash. And then it says, vayiten lanu es ha'aretz hazos. What does that refer to? The entire Eretz Yisrael. Eretz zavas chol v'dvash. So we have over here 2 different parts of Eretz Yisrael. We have the Beis HaMikdash, which is this mokoyim, the mokoyim really of Yerushalayim. And then we have the entire Eretz Yisrael. I find it interesting, I saw this also from the Sefer, is that when we begin the Haggadah and the Holach Ma'ani, we are mispalel l'shona haba, the Ara di Yisrael. At the end of the Haggadah, we say, l'shona haba birushalayim. Why is it that at the beginning of the Haggadah we focus on the entire Eretz Yisrael, and the end of the Haggadah do we focus on Yerushalayim? Let us be consistent. We should say either in the beginning of the end, Lashon Haba B'Yared Yisrael. Why do we focus both on we should be consistent, either we should have Eretz Yisrael in the beginning and the end, or we should have Yerushalayim at the beginning and the end? Why does there have to be a difference between the beginning and the end of the Haggadah? Like we see in this pasuk as well, there are two different dinim in Eretz Yisrael. There is B'makom Hazeh, that's Yerushalayim, and Haaretz Hazos, which is the entire Eretz Yisrael. I think the answer is very simple. Klal Yisrael was not immediately zoicha to Yerushalayim. It was a very long process that took 440 years. They came into Eretz Yisrael having absolutely no idea where the final resting place would be. For the first 14 years it was in Gilgal. And then it went to Shiloh for 369 years. Then it went to Noif. Then it went to Givah for 57 years. And then finally, it was in Ir David. It wasn't even right away in Yerushalayim. And finally, after 440 years, Lishichnoi Sidrishu Uvasa Shama Nasan Hanavi David Hamelach. They figured out that the field of Aravna is going to be the Makom. It is a very, very long process to go from Eretz Yisrael as a whole to the Makom, to Lishichnoi Sidrishu Uvasa Shama to Yerushalayim. That's really what we do in the Haggadah. When we start the Haggadah in the very beginning, we're not yet roy for the Shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. It's a process. There's a Seder. All of the Simonim of the Seder have to be fulfilled. The 15th Simonim of the Seder is a microcosm of 440 years of going through a process. When we start the Haggadah, the best we can hope for is Lashana Hababi Ara de Yisrael. Are we zoicha already to the Hashras Hashchina B'Mokim Hazeh in Yerushalayim? Not so fast. We need to go through the steps. Kibush, Chiluk, living in the land, seeking Lashichnei Sidrishu. You have to seek, it didn't just happen by itself to find the place of Yerushalayim. To come to Yerushalayim, there was a Drisha. Until you can come to Vasa Shama. When you get to the end of the Seder, now you zeichet to say Lashana Habara B'Yerushalayim Habenuya. So that's why precisely it's Arad Yisrael to Yerushalayim. Okay, let's go to Matzah. Let's talk a little bit about Matzah. I'm going to take one other short verb from before we go to Matzah. That is, it's very interesting when it comes to Dalabanim. It always struck me that the Rambam is very, very, what's the right word? It's very open. The Rambam says if you have a child who's a katan or a tippish, so you should speak to him on his level. If he's a chacham or a gadol or a chacham, then you talk to him on his level. It always struck me, who would ever say about their child that he's a tippish? Every parent believes... They believe, it's not just a matter of exaggerating. They believe with full sincerity that their child is going to be the next Melech HaMashiach. It's going to be the next Gadol Hadar. It's going to be the next Nobel Prize laureate. I mean, let's say you're dealing with small children. They're sitting on the table. Have you ever met a parent that didn't look at his children and say, this child, I once met a person, I know this fellow, he's a Hasidic fellow, and he tells me with all seriousness, his children are going to change the whole world. And I'm looking at him and said, you're with everyone else, your children and everyone else's children. He really believes that his children are so special, they're going to change the entire world. Maybe he's right. Halavai, he's right. But every parent has a certain chiba where you really believe your children are going to change the entire world. So isn't it striking that the Rambam says, if you have a child who is a chacha, who is a katan, okay, a katan is a child, or a tippish, so speak to him on his level. It's a very disturbing statement. Yet it appears that the Rambam is teaching you a lesson in saying that when it comes to the Seder, part of the job of a parent at the Seder is to know your children, to be realistic. The Seder is all about the children. V'gadata levincha b'yoyim ahu leimar. If you're not realistic, you're going to fail. A child, not every school, we all know today, not every school is a match for every child. Every child needs a very different type of school. Today, there are so many schools that are tailor-made for individual children to specifically fit their needs. Otherwise, you're setting the child up for failure. The Rambam was way ahead of his time. And the Rambam, I'm telling you, look at your children. You know, face the facts. If the child's a tippish, come to terms, accept it. Because if you're not going to accept the reality, there's no way you're going to be able to be mekayim in the mitzvah of v'gadata levincha b'yom ahu leimar. The night of the Seder is not a Seder, is not a place of one size fits all. Every child has to be taught on his particular level. Okay, let's go now to matzah. Matzah is called lechem oines. So a beautiful idea in this Haggadah, the Haggadah that I'm using from. I mean, no, it doesn't say this. Actually, it doesn't say this. I want to point out a little bit more. The Gemara talks about matzah, the Gemara says, matzah is called lechem oini. And the Gemara gives three examples of what lechem is, the meaning, the precise meaning of lechem oini. Number one, the Gemara says, it is bread that does not have shemen, dvash, or cholof. No milk, there is no honey, there is no shem, no yayin, there's no shem, there's no cholof. It's just pure flour and warm. These are the bare ingredients of the bread itself. Number two. Second characteristic of lechem oini, it's a prusa. It's not a shalim. Darkoi shal oni biprusa. Poor man does not have the money, does not have the ability, does not have enough wheat, enough resources to buy a shalim or to fashion a shalim. It's always a prusa. Number three, the Gemara says, is that it's matzah, it's not chametz. Why is it chametz not matzah? Because let me see if I can find the words. When a poor man bakes the bread, the Gemara says the husband, he lights the fire at the same time that the wife is kneading the dough. Let me see if I can find the exact words. Here it is. Psachim daflamidvav. Ma tamalem alechem oini. Prad li isa sheni lusha biyayin ushem nidvash. Vechena. Ma dako shal oni shal beprusa. Namu tu af kam beprusa. Ma dako shal oni hu masik. The man, the husband, he lights the fire in the oven. The ishtoi oifa. And the wife does the baking. Af ka nami hu masik vi ishtoi oifa. And the wife bakes. And before we go to the point, I want to tell you, I always found this fascinating, is that the malchus of matzah is a piece of bread that has been prepared by both the mother and the father. Okay, there's no single parent in Judaism. In Judaism, you need to have a mother and a father. You can't have one without the other. Each one provides a different dimension of chinuch habanim. The Seder is the time of Yigadata Levincha, and the food that is served is matzah. The malchus of matzah is a piece of food that has been prepared by two parents, a father and a mother. Ma afkan, ma dagashal, the Gemara is so powerful. Ma dagashal ani hu masik, he's the one who lights the fire. The ishtoi oifa, the wife, is begging. Since they have so little fuel, they don't have any time to waste. They have to work as a team. Work as a team in order to prepare this piece of bread that they're going to feed, that they're going to eat, and they're going to feed to their children. Very fascinating is that the machus of the Seder is both the ovois and the imahos, the father and the mother. In fact, I think the Sas Emes says, he asked the question, why are we obsessed on the night of the Seder with the number four? Everything is four, 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 four. L'chayr, it should be three. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's why we have three matzah. So the Sas Emes says, the reason why we have four, it's a backup plan. Sasem is shocking when he says, it's a backup plan. Just in case we're not right for the avos, because tamu zuchus avos, we have a safety net. We'll fall back on the imahos. Because Chazal only said, tamu zuchus avos. The zuchus of the imahos, we never consume, we never used up. As a medaleg al hehorim, umekabeitz al hagvos. Medaleg ha-harma the avos, and medaleg al ha-gvos are the imahos. So Chazal say the darshan that even though there's some drush in that pasuk which indicates that the zuchus imos are never lo tamu, the mela we focus on the number 4 and the 9 of the seder to come onto the imos. The matzah itself, who has baked the matzah? Not the husband, it's the wife. The wife has baked the matzah, it is the husband who does the firewood. You never saw the matzah baking factory. This will be a new chumrah, right? The matzah baking factory, you have a whole team, a husband and wife team. Husband and wife team, they come, and the husband is the one that's going to man the oven, and the wife is going to be the one that's going to shave and knead and make the bread. That would be really good matzah, because that matzah would be the matzah exactly like it says in the word. That's me, you want to go into business with me? Okay? A special matzah, they in fact, they have a mechitza for the husband and the wife. The husband, she does the baking, and the wife and the husband does the afia, because that's what says in the Gemara. And what is the drush I want to bring out from this is that there are three dinim in the matzah. Number one are the ingredients. Number two is the shape. Number three is the one who has made it. Matzah is a symbol for Klal Yisrael. Our ingredients. What are the ingredients? The ingredients of Klal Yisrael are the Torah. It's flour and water. Flour, luchu lachem ubelachmi. Yai mayim is hoikot tzomei luchu lamayim. The ingredients of Klal Yisrael is, it's lechem oini. It's just Torah, Torah, Torah. I know there are 7 branches in the Menorah which refer to all the Chochmas Chitzonius in the Chanami, but all the Chochmas Chitzonius are all rooted in the ingredients of Klal Yisrael is pure lechem with pure ingredients, is pure Torah. What's the second ingredient? What's the second thing? Is the tzura. What is tzura? Chazal always referred to tzura as a code word for midos. There was a nice Gemara when Amoraim told the children, I want you to go to a certain person, I want you to go to him for a bracha, these people for a bracha, and anoshim shel tzura him. There are people of form. Tzura represents the six shulchanach, the midos toivas. It represents what you take out of the Torah, when you mekayim in the Torah, the relation the Torah makes upon you, how it transforms you into becoming a better person. And the third part of Klal Yisrael is our heritage, is who made us, who are our parents, who are of us, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, our Messiah. Matzah is the perfect symbol for Klal Yisrael. It has ingredients, it's lechem oini, ingredients, flour and water, nothing external. Don't add in all of these dangerous things which can damage the ingredients of Klal Yisrael. It has tzura, it has form, it is unique in their midos, in their mahalach, in their derech. And number three, to acknowledge the mesor, the legacy where we come from the avos hakedoshim. Okay, let's now go to one more thing of either halacha or agada. Let me tell you a little halacha. Okay, a little halacha, we'll leave the rest for tomorrow. Okay, a little halacha. When you make the bracha on matzah, how many brachas do we make? We make 2 brachas. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Standard. And then we make a second bracha. Asher Kedoshanu B'Mitzvaseh B'Tzivanu Al Achilas Matzah. And by the way, do you stand up when you make the bracha of Al Achilas Matzah? Unheard of, right? You never saw someone, you sit with the matzah, Hamaitzi Lechem Min Haaretz, and then you stand up. Oh, now we're going to make the Birchas HaMitzvahs, Asher Kedoshanu B'Mitzvahs V'Tzivanu Al Achilas Matzah. L'cha'ora, you should stand up. According to the laws of Shulchan Aruch, whenever you make a Birchas HaMitzvahs, you light the Chanukah Menorah, when you take Lul V'Neshoi, when you make Kiddush, I mean, when you make, well, let's take it back, it's not an example, but Derech Lal, when you blow Shofar, lay the Megillah, you make the brachas, you're supposed to stand, you can sit for the Megillah, but when you make the brachas, you're supposed to be standing. So, Haloi Davar, when you make the bracha of Al Achilas Matzah, it's a Birchas HaMitzvahs, L'cha'ora, you should be standing. And in fact, it brings down this one very obscure source where it appears that there were people who indeed felt that they did stand when they make the bracha of Al Achilas Matzah. No one today does this, and it's not an easy way to wiggle out. Even the bracha of Leishei Basukah, some people, they make it when they're making Kiddush and they're standing. So even though the bracha is to sit, leishay basuka, but they still stand some. And the only answer given is, since the mitzvah is to eat, and achil is done sitting down, the bracha can't be better than the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to eat, and you're eating when you're sitting down, so you have to also make the bracha when you are sitting down. Okay. How many matzahs are you holding in your hand when you make the bracha? 3 matzahs. When you make the first bracha, you have 3. You have 2 on the top and the bottom, they're shleimim. In the middle is the prusa. Take all 3 together, all 3 matzahs together, to shleim and the prusa, asher, you make the bracha, hamoitzi, lechem in aretz. Then you let go of the bottom matzah. Okay, shatters, no, you just let go, you put it down on the table. And now you have in your hand just the top matzah and the middle matzah. And now you make the bracha, asher, kedushan, b'mitzvot, b'tzvonu, al achilas matzah. That's what we do, and then you distribute from the top matzah two kezesim, a kezayish from the top matzah, kezayish from the middle matzah, you two kezesim, and you finished. And then the bottom matzah, you say for korech, the bottom matzah of korech, and the other half of the middle matzah that disappeared, that's going to come back for the afi korech. Now here's the question. The question is, when you make the bracha, the first bracha, hamoytzi lechem in aretz, be very precise with me. Upon which of the 3 matzos is that bracha being made? And then when you make the bracha of alachilas matzah, upon which of the matzos is it being made? Now if you would ask me, I think if you ask the average person, you would say that the first bracha is not unique. It's an ordinary bracha you make the whole year round. Hamaitzi lecha min aretz. Since it's Yom Tov, you have to have shleinim, you have in front of you 3 matzahs, so the bracha of hamaitzi lecha min aretz goes on the top matzah and goes on the bottom matzah, but not on the middle matzah. The middle matzah is the broken matzah, which you're going to mekayim, which is the lechem oini, the prusa. Then you drop the bottom matzah. I only have now the top and the middle, and I make the bracha asher kedushan b'mitzvah is alachilas matzah. It's going on the prusa. It's going on the piece of matzah that's in the middle, the broken piece of matzah, because that's the mitzvah hayoyim, the mitzvah achilas matzah. It's a broken piece of matzah. It's darkar shel oni b'prusa. It's lechem oni. That is the mitzvah schalam that bracha. And indeed, most of the Achroinim are of the understanding. That's exactly what you should have in mind when you make these 2 brachas. However, not everyone agrees. The Levush brings down that opinion. It brings down another opinion. Others also bring down both. And they say it's a shocking chiddush. It's incredible. It opens up your mind exactly what are you doing in matzah. It's just the opposite. Shocking. When you make the bracha, Hamoitzi lechem min ha'aretz. You know what you should have kavana? I'm not telling you this lahalacha, but this the Levush brings down this opinion, and others also bring down this opinion. It's a very serious opinion in halacha. You should have kavana, the broken piece of matzah in the middle. And then when you make the bracha, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosei v'tzvanu al achilas matzah, the mitzvah hayoyim al achilas matzah, you should have kavana, the sholem. Just because the seder is you have on the table lechem oini, and everything is lechem oini, lechem oini. It doesn't mean that the bracha should be on the lechem oini. The bracha should be on a matzah mehuda. A matzah mehuda is a sholem. Oh, but you made the bracha hamoitzi lechem min haaret. So he explains to you, he's medayik in the Levush, a fascinating chiddush. When you say lechem, lechem does not literally mean bread. Lechem means the su'uda, the meal. The meal. That's what lechem alludes to. Hamoitzi lechem, we know you make 1 bracha on bread and you don't have to do any more brachas. It doesn't just mean you make on the lechem. The reason why you don't make multiple brachas at a regular meal, a bread meal, is because the word lechem doesn't mean bread. Lechem means the su'uda, the meal. The entire su'uda of Shulchan Aruch is Nechal al Shein. The only reason why you're having a Shulchan Aruch, you're having a Seder, is because of the Lechem Oini, the poor man's bread. This is the center, this is the focal point of the entire Seder. If the Levush says it's appropriate that we make the bracha Hamoitzi Lechem min Haaretz, what is the Lechem? The su'uda. All the gefilte fish, and the soup, and the meat, the chicken, whatever you got, all your side dishes. That's the suda. And this suda is being nechal on bread. What bread? Well, this night of the Seder is a unique night. The bread of this night is lechem oini, a broken piece of bread, darkash on reprusa. Hamoitzi lechem in aret is going on the middle matzah that's broken into 2 bits broken. Now when you have to also make the acknowledge that we're eating on achilas matzah of this night, you make the bracha on a matzah muhudar. What's a matzah muhudar? A sholem. You don't do mitzvahs, make brachas on shvacha mitzvah. It's not a kovedik to make a bracha on a matzah that's broken. You make the bracha of a sher kedushanu b'mitzvahs b'mitzvahs alachilas matzah. And what's very fascinating from this idea is the drush. What's the drush in this mahalach? It's that you don't take for granted what you ordinarily have. You have a whole year round a bracha. Hamaytzi lecha min art. It's such a chashuv a bracha. A Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a person parnasa. Paseach es yodecha maspil l'chol chai rotzai. It's a beautiful bracha. The bracha Hamaytzi lecha min art, it captures the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu sustains us. Now it comes the Seder. You're going to insult. Are you going to insult the bracha Hamaytzi lecha min art, which you've cherished and you've recited thousands of times during the year, or hundreds of times during the year? You're going to push it aside and let another bracha take over and become dominant? That's a terrible insult to the bracha. That's a charpa to the bracha. How could you dare do that? You don't insult the bracha. Pum fakert. The bracha hamoitzi lecha min ha'oretz tonight by the Seder is going on the prusa. The mitzvahs hayoim. This is what Pesach is all about. Lechem oini. You upgrade it. Many institutions, you're not going to go search for a new leader outside. It's a bazillion for the institution. We can't produce one of our own. If we have a vacancy in our hierarchy, whatever, we have to go look for. We have to bring someone else from the outside. That's not right. Appreciate the people who you've bred, who you've had. The Hamaytzi, you don't just push away. You give it what it deserves. It becomes center stage. The brusa, the yachatz matzah, is the Hamaytzi lecha min ha'aretz. And then when you make the bracha, asher kedushan b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al achilas matzah, so then we'll have another bracha, we'll give it to the secondary matzah on top. It's a very powerful insight, both halachically, it's a tremendous chiddush, what the Levush says, halachically, and a gada and a machshava of really what you're doing. The simple, yes, any person off the street, I mean, it was shocking to me, but to see this such a thing, is the simple idea is, of course, the first bracha, Moitzi lachem and aris, on the two shleinim, and then the mitzvah hayoim of halachilas matzah is the prusa. Ein achinami, that's the common mahalach in the Mufarshim, but not everyone agrees. And when you look at the other mahalach, there's a lot of depth in halacha. What exactly is the bracha of hamaytzi lechem min ha'aretz? It's not just on a piece of bread. It's on the se'uda. This se'uda is al shem the prusa. It gets the hamaytzi. And in agada, it's a powerful yisoid. Don't take for granted things that you have the whole all the time. Don't take your friends for granted. The bracha hamaytzi lechem min ha'aretz is your friend. The bracha of Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu is not your friend. It's not your friend. You only see him once a year. Only once a year. Hamaytzi is your friend. When you want to give kavod at the Seder, give kavod to your friends. Don't take them for granted. They are your ikar.
All right, let's stop here. When you make hamaytzi on Friday night, on the chava,
yeah,
you make it on the bottom chava.
Right, and by Shabbos day on the top.
Yeah, so therefore, if you're doing it on the bottom
column,
so the lower one, the middle one.
That's Kabbalah. The bottom and the top, the reason why we switch.
Hold it like this. Shabbos day, hold it like this.